update, just giving you some percentages as I have the last few weeks. Stormwater infrastructure, 80% complete, still on track to be done April 3rd. Curb and gutter install, 80% complete, on track for April 24th. Irrigation is 90% complete, almost done, and that'll be done April 10th. And then the paver installation is still about halfway done and will be complete by May 8th.
So on track or ahead of track, and we're more than halfway there. And, you know, it's kind of before you know it, it'll be all over and everything will be mostly fine. Mayor Reeves joins us now. D.C. Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Sir, basically, the project is more than halfway done, right?
That's right. Yeah, still on track, on schedule for May 24th. I get asked about it at every event that I'm at, and with lots of what I consider pretty consensus about finally, once people saw that, hey, the sidewalks are open and, hey, this thing's moving really quickly. And by the way, and a huge thank you to your listeners and everybody else continuing to support businesses. We're hearing good reports from them that
great.
You know, people continue to remain supportive. So, you know, it turns out, as I always say on the show and in my job, change causes anxiety. And when you propose change, it's hard. And now when you see the reality of what is to come, I think that's really turned some attitudes around compared to some of the conversations and water cooler talk previous to the project beginning.
You know, when this is all done, you're going to have here's the problem that I suspect you're going to have. The aesthetic of it is, I think, going to be fantastic. I love the aesthetic of this thing. I know some people disagree, but that's fine. Okay, we might wrangle about that, yeah. But at least that's something you can see and look at and go, oh, shiny and new, looks cool. What you're not going to get credit for is the problem that no longer exists with the stormwater, right? You know, nobody is going to do the every 2 month update of, hey, no floods this week on Palafox, you know, like, but that's the big value of this project. And what is it? Is it 2 inches of rain in an hour? What is the metric that it can handle?
Yeah. Well, a couple things. You're disappointing me. I had this vision that I was going to have citizens giving like a thumbs up next to one of the new stormwater outfalls and saying, you know, good job there. I didn't.
Doing selfies next to the storm drain and celebrating every couple days on Instagram. Right.
Right. Exactly. I was crushing my hopes of that picture coming to life. But no, it's 97,000 gallons of stormwater. And that is the equivalent of, if we took a bucket like we were on Nickelodeon and dropped 1 inch of rain on the entire project area, it would be immediately taken into the storm drain, and that's the increased capacity. That's 1 inch instantaneously, not 1 inch over an hour or 2 hours or 5 hours. So that's the level of increase of stormwater just on the Palafox project itself.
That's amazing. All right, so let's talk about the controversy. You know where I'm going with this.
Yes.
Palm trees on Palafox?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I actually took this as good news. I saw the front page of PNJ.com, and I realized I've made it. That 3.5 years into this job, the biggest controversy we have is 12 palm trees. So all of my fellow mayors are very jealous of me that is the biggest controversy we have in our
city
right
okay, now. Okay, but, okay. I do have to say, in all fairness, there have been others, and the PNJ has reported on them. But no, fair enough. I mean, this
right.
is the big thing at the moment,
high,
right?
I'm taking the high water mark.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, this has been on the plan since 24 or 25, and obviously there's a local landscape architecture firm, Gary Pate Company, that's done many projects around the world, including in Pensacola, including Jefferson Street, that designed these. The ultimate argument of those is, number one, well, the ones that we're hearing is, one, these aren't native, which is actually the state tree of Florida, and it is native. And as a matter of fact, we saved a couple dozen of these, or give or take, at Bruce Beach that are there right now. And so we see people cutting them down. But so that's one misperception. And then the second part is, which I find interesting, because some people that had criticized taking some of the parking bays where is also where these are going in. Well, the entire argument of that was to increase dwell time and dwell space and to have room to move around or have tables and things like that. Well, if you only put trees that have where the leaves and the limbs are stretching out and taking up some of that newly created space, then that kind of is in conflict with the idea of creating more dwell space throughout. So the good news is this, where it's about a plus 40 or 50 tree project. And so at the end of the day, these 12 palm trees are in addition to another about 38 in addition to the ones that already exist. So so if we aren't losing canopy, we're net gaining canopy significantly across the project. So so again, I rely on our experts that do this for a living all over the world, and we think they've done a pretty good job.
And I may have blinked with my ears if you mentioned it, but the root system is also a benefit because, as I understand it, palm trees don't develop this ginormous lateral root system. They're more of a ball root, and so, which is part of what makes them vulnerable a lot of times to storms, but that it won't be this ongoing disruption to the pavers and the streets and the sidewalks and all of that over time. Is that right?
That's correct. And then also understand, again, I strongly suggest that there's people posting one photo on Facebook and then saying this is how everything's going to be. And actually, what I found kind of funny, too, is I think one of the criticisms was, hey, this isn't South Florida, this is New Orleans. And then I saw someone post a photo from Canal Street, which is lined with palm trees, so or Charleston. So, everybody's going to have an opinion on something like that, which they certainly have their right to do.
Yeah.
I can tell you the mayor doesn't hand select tree types throughout these. Again, we rely on professionals to do this, and I think it is important to point out in summation that there is a benefit. There are benefits to having these palm trees that have been thought through. And in terms of the sustainability, there's plenty of tree canopy and shade being created throughout the street, et cetera.
I'm just not sure I can go on with the level of misinformation, Mr. Mayor, that you're providing. I mean, you know, you're trying to tell me that palm trees are native to Northwest Florida. You keep claiming that there are no secret tunnels underneath the ground in Pensacola, and your dad's Rolls Royce wasn't even owned by John Lennon. Like, I can't go on with all of the, you know, the things surrounding you. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reese.
I understand.
Based on the picture I saw on social media, the TSA line at the checking area for the airport out on Pensacola Beach was terrible yesterday. What else are you keeping from us?
Yeah, exactly. I always do appreciate, you know, the 5% of people who react to that saying, hey, that's not it.
Oh, my God.
Like, you know, not knowing that it's actually, you know, an AI photo.
The people who knew just enough to say that it was fake are the most horrifying to me. That's the scariest one to me.
Exactly. I 100% agree.
All right. On serious matters, though, the airport is still running well. So far, so good. I know you took some time yesterday to talk about the employees, and you appreciate their hard work. You know, but goodwill only lasts so long. What can the city do to maybe alleviate some of the pain, help them out? I know you maybe can't do much because it's federal employees, but we like what's happening now. We hope it doesn't last too long. At a certain point, goodwill ends.
Yeah, that's right. And so, 110 TSA employees there, and we're certainly appreciative. That number was not as big when we were having those issues, you know, a couple of years ago. And there's been more local leadership and more local communication, frankly, ever since we kind of had to, you know, pound the fists on the table a couple of years ago when we were running into all those issues. And so we try to appreciate them. Every now and then we'll bring donuts to the back room back there, just from our office, you know, saying thank you, not even during these times, but just to keep our airport going and how important this airport is for our economy and for our residents. And so, as a matter of fact, we posted something that I mentioned yesterday, that we've been in contact, or we know that Mana Food Pantries is reaching out to TSA folks who may not be getting paychecks. We've had a few residents or visitors send emails to the airport saying, like, how can we help? And I think we're trying to set up some ways to get gift cards to them if that's something that you want to participate in. So, you know, these are people that, again, that are helping keep our airport running when they have a perfectly good excuse not to.
Right.
And so, you know, we just want to be appreciative of that. And if, you know, make sure you give them a genuine thank you if you're going through those TSA lines here in the next few days.
You know,
because, again, if they decided to not show up, you may not be going to wherever you're going. So I think that's important.
And, you know, though I don't want to be the one to say it publicly on the radio or anything, in a way, this whole kerfuffle is finally, for maybe the first time in history, given TSA agents some sympathetic, positive press.
Right.
Yeah, so it's kind of a,
absolutely.
So I was talking, Santa Rosa County, at Kerry Smith, you know, Commissioner Smith, had brought up a kind of an interesting proposal. It was, I think, doomed to not go anywhere. They were going to follow, like, subdivisions that were being developed. They wanted to put up some signs explaining that it wasn't them who approved the subdivision. It was approved in 06 or 18 or whatever. But I think that was, like, the small potatoes version of the problem. What they're really complaining about a lot is misinformation and malicious information, you know, dis and misinformation on social media. And it got me thinking about the job of a public information officer. And, you know, I'm not saying you need to tax your people with it, but I'm asking you this question is, what do you think about the idea of basically directing a PIO and saying, your job is to go tell the truth on social media, find the errors, correct them gently, politely, kindly, with a thick skin, but let's fix some of this. Because look, you know, you and your team are very responsive to me. You're very responsive to, you know, Randy at Channel 3 and, you know, Lisa, PNJ or Jim Noller, whoever. But a lot of people get their bad information from sources that you guys are maybe not actively engaged on. And I know you're pretty active for a politician on social media, but have you ever thought about that as a, like, a strategy? You know, let's get out there and correct some of this stuff.
Yeah, actually, I'd love to. I could probably do a 15-minute segment next time I'm in the studio on just this because of my background. You know,
yeah.
Background as a journalist and having opinions on that. And you hit the nail on the head. The unfortunate issue of today is there's as much credence given to comments on Facebook or Instagram or on Reddit from anonymous sources as true. And then it becomes this general government burden, the bad guys, quote unquote, kind of a stereotype that it's given. And the media was the same way. You know, when you look at approval ratings of media or government, they're low. And so then it becomes this guilty until proven innocent scenario. And so I get asked all the time, well, you know, hey, why are you, some mayors don't do that. Why are you active on social media? Because if I'm not, then I'll go to the next three Rotary clubs or town halls having to answer for some person who may not even live here saying something about getting a $500 parking ticket that doesn't exist. So, you know, it's those types of things that's just unfortunately, like it or not, whether I like it or not, the new age of information and misinformation is anybody that can say anything under any fake name they want, and then it becomes the job of the government to come prove that person isn't correct.
Right.
That the burden of proof has changed to such a small level that it makes things difficult with information and misinformation, for sure.
And, you know, the people who yell the loudest about anonymous sourcing and bias in mainstream media turn right around and give a total pass to the most ridiculous, flagrant falsehoods on social media and the unbelievable bias and ignorance that most of it represents and lump us all in. You know, I'm with you. You know. We always like to end with something a little bit fun, lightning round, quick questions for you. First one, how do you unload your grocery cart? Do you stand behind the cart on the tall end and reach over because you're relatively tall, or do you go in front of it and turn backwards and load to the conveyor from the front of the cart?
Neither. Usually from the side. Maybe the Publix that I go to has got more room.
Yeah,
but,
luxury
kind
living.
Of either back or side, I guess. Yeah, I've got enough wingspan, former basketball player, you know, I can get down there. And
that's right. Tell me a sport that you were shocked to find out people didn't understand the rules for as a sports journalist.
Ooh, man. I'll be honest. There's a lot. I would put it this way. Mainstream sports like football or basketball, where there's somebody yelling from the stands where they definitely think they know the rules that are not correct. That's what I would say. It's not so much one sport. It's people yelling about what rule, another fake rule that doesn't exist. I think it maybe not the finer points of the major sports.
I was just stunned to find out that all of the people that I play kickball, many of the people who are younger, you know, like 25, and I love playing with them. They're fabulous people, but they don't know the basic rules of baseball. And I was like, I thought everybody knew this stuff, and they don't, you know, and just, right. People just don't know what they don't know, right?
Exactly.
All right, last one. Chuck Norris, of course, passed away over the weekend. Do you have a favorite Chuck Norris movie and or role, or a favorite Chuck Norris quote, joke, or both?
Oh man, not offhand. What is yours? What was your choice?
Oh well, I just saw one yesterday that I thought was fantastic. It said that it was Chuck Norris standing next to a picture of Chuck Norris with a hat on, and the caption was, "Chuck Norris admitted to using stunt doubles in his movies, but only for the parts where he's required to cry."
Exactly, exactly. So those are always good. Man, those were big 20 years ago. I've left them out of my brain and put in more things about stormwater. But
we were okay. That's payback for the Rolls Royce comment. Yeah. That's fine. All right, I'll take it, old man. You know, I heard what you said, Mayor DC Reeves. As always, sir, a pleasure. Thank you for the.